me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Hello there, everybody. Good morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you are. We are definitely doing an international show today on Purpose Talk Radio. Today is Monday, September 23rd, 2013. I am your host, Cindy Freeman. First time flying solo on this, and it is exciting, exciting to be here, especially with our topic of the day, the thrill of the unknown. And we don't know what's going to happen on any of our shows, really. You know, we let spirit guide the discussions, the topics, the conversation, and take it where it goes. So for that, we're grateful. And our guest today is going to be Milana Ashley. We'll get to her in a little bit. One of her things is her thrill of the unknown was to move from the developed country in the United States and the island of Hawaii and head to Honduras, where life was, shall we say, much simpler and less developed. I want to talk to her as to why that happened, how that happened, and what her purpose in it was. Our theme song for the show is I Am Who I Am, and it's by the group True Trinity. That would be Jillian Clark, Rachel Martinez, and myself. And we developed that song. It was actually one of the first ones we started writing while sitting around a pool. Didn't know at that time that it was going to be part of this show or part of anything. We were just kind of messing around a little bit and trying to see what would happen if we started creating. And probably about a year and a half later, finally actually finished the song. Let's see, what else do we have on tap? Oh, yes, we have our Purpose Talk Radio Conversations discussion page. And over there is Sharon Hinckley today. And she'll be moderating that discussion, and it is on Facebook. So feel free to go into the thread of the page and post anything that resonates with you. Have a discussion with Sharon. If you don't want to be on the air and want to post some questions there, you're more welcome to do that. Because that's an opportunity. The other thing that we have is we do have chat open on Blog Talk Radio, Purpose Talk Radio, and you're welcome to do that as well. And then the third place would be, of course, to call into our show, and that number would be 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. And we'll talk to Milana a bit, and then we'll take some questions if you'd like. If you'd like to sponsor or donate to the show, you're welcome to do that as well. And you can do that by going to our page at PurposeTalkRadio.com. And there's a button to do that. So looking at all that information, I think we've got the housekeeping things out of the way here so that we can get down to our main topic of the day. And with that, I'm going to invite Milana into our conversation. Like I said, she is in Honduras. And that one of the big things is that, you know, we don't have the, you know, here in America where I am in Wisconsin, you know, I don't expect the electricity to go out unless I don't pay the bill. In Honduras, Milana's been experiencing some difficulties with that today. And hopefully she will be able to stay on the whole show. But she can talk a little bit about that as well. So, hello, Milana.
Hi, Cindy. Hi. I'm sitting here laughing. I was going to tell you how wonderful I thought the music was. I love that song that you opened with. And then as you lead into the electrical problems, yeah, that's been quite the issue today. No internet, of course, no international phone when there's no computer and no electricity. And then we also lost water at the same time, so it was definitely take a few hours off and relax and just give it up to spirit and wait for it all to come back.
Wow, yeah. Okay. Well, we have to trust today that everything will be all right as we put it through. So,
oh, sure.
Anyway. So, today we're going to talk about Thrill of the Unknown. And like I said, we've got a lot of that going on here. Okay. That's okay. What I'd like to ask first, and how we pretty much ask and talk to all of our guests, give us a little bit of your background, not necessarily about the move and that kind of thing. We'll get into that. But just who are you? What makes you who you are? Where, you know, some of your past histories, things like that. If you would, please.
I am. Well, I have a degree as a naturopathic doctor. But even with a degree, I found out that I didn't have all the answers because a number of my clients, the majority of them with chronic illnesses, you can help them, you can help them tremendously to a certain point, and then it's like they plateau and they can't go any farther. And so I knew that there was something else besides changes in nutrition and supplements and vitamins and that kind of thing. So I started studying emotional healing and developed an emotional healing program that is phenomenal, then went into subtle energies, and from there went into metaphysics, which gives me the whole spectrum of, like, fifth-dimensional healing. And that led me to be introduced to different elders of traditional cultures, and they tutored me. They took me in as a student and taught me some of the cultural traditions that are part of why they have the longevity that they do and the health that they do. So all of that is kind of incorporated into the way that I work with people that come to me on, you know, for consultations. And but the interesting thing was that I started teaching this in workshops and retreats, and from there started writing. So because I have people that want to learn to do what I do, because I ride energy threads, that, you know, the energy thread that connects us all, that gives us that oneness, is loaded with information, and some of it is stuff that you've inherited from your grandparents and whatever. You know, even biblically it says that the iniquities of the fathers shall be passed on 3-4 generations or more. And it's not that you have to go to jail if your grandfather robbed a bank, but issues that were unresolved in our parents and our grandparents and that are part of the energetic or spiritual DNA that is passed to us, just like hair, eyes, and nose, and everything else. So that's what I've been doing for years and years. I was basically worked as an oracle during the time that we were in Hawaii, and I had come on pilgrimage with Mayan elders into Guatemala and Honduras. And that's when, it wasn't really long after that, that we made the decision that, you know, it was time to move. Our families in the Midwest and Florida were changing. And nobody had asked for help, but at the same time, where we were at was at least 13 hours or more to get to them. And so we knew we had to get closer. We love living on coastal conditions, which at that time we couldn't afford to purchase in the U.S. And the belief barrier of living outside the U.S. had already been broken with travel. So we just kind of looked straight down and stayed to the warm waters of the Caribbean and came up with Honduras. So what I do is a conglomeration. You know, I'm still work as a naturopath. I do a lot of work here with the local people. And I write books and articles and spend a lot of time on Facebook. And then also do healing vacations.
Wow. Okay. So they come down to Honduras, or do you come up to the States then, or do they go wherever for your healing vacation?
Healing vacations, people generally come to me, because what happens is that sometimes you have to really break from your past to be able to see information new, because all the things, all your history that you surround yourself with colors your perception of new information coming in. So to make a geographical change helps, because you have nothing to cling to from the old. What was really interesting, I was reading a book called The Secret Life of Plants, and I found out that Luther Burbank, who developed the English walnut that we know in our country, Shasta daisies, and a number of other unique plants, did it without necessarily hybriding them. He would talk to them. He would tell them what he wanted. But he chose plants, seedlings that were not from the United States. He got most of his seedlings from Japan. And see, he was doing the same thing. Isn't that cool? Here I'm on the same level as this great mind, and I didn't even know what was going on. But he brings seedlings from their home country. So the seedling is not getting any information through the soil, through the minerals, through energy, whatever. And they were then susceptible. They were more open to the thought and mind energy that he was giving them. And that's where it was the most amazing story.
Well, I've heard about we're going slightly off topic, but I've heard about the, talk nicely to your plants as you water them and tell them how well they'll grow, versus, if they're starting to wilt, telling them how ugly they are and, oh man, I'm going to have to throw you out or something like that, and how they thrive on good conversation, just like people do, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That energy vibe that we give off when we have thoughts, even if we don't say the words, if we have thoughts, can be felt by others, not only others of our own kind, but animals and by plants. Two examples of that is invariably dogs bite people who are afraid of them. Mm-hmm. And they don't know, oh my gosh, that person's afraid of me, I'm just going to bully him. What it is they feel the negative energy. They feel the contraction of the energy field, and they don't know what's wrong, but they know something's wrong, and they respond to it. So that's kind of how that goes, and I can't remember what the other example was I was going to tell you.
It's okay. I know, it's like ourselves, too. It runs the same thing, right? Telling ourselves
exactly
what we can do, keeping that energy present, the positive energy present with ourselves.
Yeah, because, it's all about energy. Everything is vibrational. And we respond or react, we expand or contract, depending upon how we feel, what we think, and what's going on in the field around us. And a lot of times, you can be happy and just driving down the highway, and all of a sudden, this wash of sadness comes over you. And the most normal thing for we as human beings to do is try to approach it logically. We start digging through everything that's happened to us that morning and trying to apply it, and if that doesn't work, then we go farther back. Whereas it could have been a field of somebody else's energy that you just drove through, and you were sensitive enough that you picked it up. So it's not about you at all. Oh, the second thing I was going to tell you, when I was traveling around the United States teaching nutrition for an organization in Indiana, we were talking about energy and plants and how knowledgeable plants are, how they pick up on the energy. And one of the young women in the class told me that she had one of those great big spider plants. You know, they fill up a basket really fast, and they send out the runners that hang down. They're really pretty. And she had to transplant it twice before. And, of course, you know, within just a very few months, it outgrows that newer pot. So she had this in a great big 12-inch basket. She didn't want to take it to look for anything bigger. So she decided to look through it, and she says, you know, I guess I'm just going to have to cut the thing in half, make two baskets. And so every day she thought she would do it on the weekend. Every day she would walk past that basket, and that would be the thought in her mind. It's that Saturday morning, I'm going to cut that plant in half and put it into two baskets. Well, when she took it down on Saturday morning and put it on a tabletop where she could get to it, the plant had laid aside its leaves so that it exposed its center, so she could just cut it very easily in half with the least amount of damage.
Oh my God.
Is that phenomenal?
Oh man.
See, and the thing is that human beings, in our arrogance, and we are, we think that we're higher and better than everything else. And I don't know, you know, maybe that comes from biblical information, or I don't know. But the whatever created us created everything else. So we're all seeds of the same energy vibration. So, yes, of course we're going to be connected, and we are able to communicate. In the ancient writings of the Kabbalah, it talks about how there is this mental connection between us and everything. And so, and that's what the Hawaiian Kapuna, when they're going to protect their house from a lava flow or a storm or tsunami is coming, how they don't try to hold a stop sign up to a tsunami. That would be a little not great. But they work with the natural forces of nature to move things, to move with them. And see, we all have that ability once we understand how it works. And that's, you know, that's kind of what I've been writing about, because that's, I feel like that I've had enough people ask for me to teach them to do what I do, that I've been trying to figure it out. And I tried to write up a curriculum, and it was just too intensive for them and for me. But it's because it's not a technique. What it is it's an awakening to the oneness that exists. And so, you know, that's what I'm doing now with the book writing, is I'm writing books about my experiences and my perception, so that it's like people have come to live with me, and they're doing things with me, and they are learning to open and see things with new eyes, instead of trying to approach new information through the old paradigm.
Okay.
Did we move terribly off topic?
I don't think so. I don't think
good.
We did at all.
Well, see, yeah, because that's the difference, you know, because, like, I get real excited talking about it. If, whether it's fear, or whether it's a thrill or excitement, it's the same adrenaline rush. But it's the thought that you apply to it. And that's why, you know, when women in labor, the degree of pain that they experience is very similar to the pain that a man feels having a heart attack. But there is... you can't relive the pain of childbirth. I mean, you probably could in the first few hours afterwards, but over a period of time, you can't do a total recall on it. You can remember the hours. You can remember that it was painful, or, you know, whatever, but you can't relive the pain. Like, you cut your finger and you know, that there's that fear and pain with it, and you can look at the scar 2 years later, and you can recall the pain. Same with the man with the heart attack, because the man with the heart attack is in a state of fear. The woman in labor is in a state of expectation. You know, it's the beginning for the for her. The man thinks it's the end.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know, you know, I suppose, again, similarly, it's the same adrenaline rush that, you know, when people are in major fear for their life, they can find the adrenaline to get out, to whether it be run, to fight off someone, something, lift a car, whatever. You know, that, I suppose it's that same kind of adrenaline. Or is it?
It truly, truly is. But the difference is in releasing judgment on the outcome. If you're afraid you're going to lose your life, if you're afraid you could you lose your job, if you're afraid that, you know, you could lose your relationship, you know, if you are entering into something new with thoughts of fear, then the event, the situation is very, very fearful. But if you enter into it knowing that, you know, whatever the outcome, it's exactly what you need. It's exactly what you want, what you've been praying for. It may not come in the package that you think is going to come in, but it's exactly what you need to experience to learn the life lesson, to have your ultimate dreams. You know, the person who asks for a thing is never the same person who's ready to receive it. If they were, they would have it. And so there is a process that they go through. And all of us are in process anyway. And it, when we relax, it's kind of like my grandmother used to live in Florida, and she loved to go swimming in the Gulf of Mexico. Well, my two uncles were there visiting with her, and they had all gone to the beach. And so my grandmother's little tiny, you know, sopping wet, she's maybe 98 pounds, is swimming in there, and all of a sudden the undertow grabs her. And she's swimming, and, you know, she's kind of a moxie gal. She's not going to yell for help or anything. But she's swimming, and my uncles are watching this because they're kind of concerned because she's a pretty good swimmer. But they can see she's going out farther and farther, and they're getting concerned about her being fatigued. And so one uncle starts diving into the water to race to try to get to my grandmother. The other uncle tells her, relax, let go, go with the undercurrent. And what it would do is it would take her out, but it always comes back in. But what happens is that when we fight against the natural flows of things, we make ourselves exhausted, we make ourselves sick, we weaken ourselves, we lose the vitality and the integrity of our cells, of our nerves, of even our spirit. We become weak, and then we go down. And so that's what it is with all of this is having trust and faith and not putting judgment on the outcome. You know, if you and your best friend lived in New York and you were sick and tired of New York and you knew that you didn't want to be there anymore, and, you know, maybe your friend's a little bit negative and you're basically positive most of the time, and you decide that, okay, well, let's go to Hawaii. Let's move to Hawaii. We'll get way out of town. And so your negative friend is going, well, you know, that may not work out because it's going to be so much money and da-da-da-da-da. And you're real positive. You go, come on, let's do it. We'll have a blast. We'll get there. And so you guys make the move. And what? The friend is going, see, you know, it's hot here, the sun all the time. It doesn't rain enough. There's too much traffic, da-da-da-da-da-da. Whereas you were like, isn't this gorgeous? Look, it's raining, rainbows again. Oh, God, I love all the rainbows because I always feel like they're good luck for me. This is going to be perfect. You know, it's the same move. It's just what you attach to the outcome of it. So actually, none of us ever really do make mistakes if we can just take it that way.
Well, okay. You said something about the one who asks for something isn't the one who, what was it, needs it?
No, the person who asks for something is never the same person who receives it.
Receives it.
Right. Hmm. I'll give you a story. I'm just so full of stories. I was a sales director for a cosmetic company at one time. So what I did was I sold cosmetics, and I trained other women to do the same thing so that they could make the money I was making. And one of the perks to working for this company is that you can, within a very short period of time, win the right to use a car. The company supplies you with a brand new car, and it's yours to drive for 2 years, and then, you know, they replace it with another one as long as your production is staying up. So there are always women who are in this line of sales. They want a free car. When I won my free car, I needed my free car. I didn't have a car. I was using public transportation and my grandmother's car occasionally. So sometimes the gals will set a goal. You know, I want to win their free car. I'm going to win the car. And then all of a sudden, maybe their husband gets transferred to Morocco. So now they're single moms having to deal with all of that. And then their job, they have a job as well, and they're doing this part-time to, you know, kind of test the waters. And then something happens on their job, there's a cutback, and they get laid off. So then they get all discouraged, and they go, oh, see, this is a sign. I was not supposed to go for the car. You know, I was supposed to. And yet, their husband going to Morocco is a blessing, because he's one less responsibility that they have to take care of while they're focused on winning this car. And the fact that they lose their job, oh my gosh, what more could you ask for? Now you have a reason to work. So, and that's it. That's the universe working with them to give them what they need to acquire the thing that they have asked for. You know, and especially, you know, when you set a goal that's a short-term goal, all the processes you were going to have to go through to prepare yourself to become the person to receive the thing you've asked for all have to be shortened up. And so then you feel like you're stumbling over yourself, but you're not. You got to get up, dust it off, and get ready to go over the next hurdle, because you are in preparation. You are becoming. And every woman who has ever won one of those cars will tell you a story similar to that. Because you may not realize it when you start, but by the time that you're through, it's like, oh my gosh, yeah. So it's the same with anything. If we were ready to receive it, it would be in our hands.
Okay, I'm going to throw a little question here for you.
Okay.
Those who are more mainline spirituality, religions, whatever, a lot of times you hear the ask and it shall be given.
Right.
You know, because the other side of that coin is, if you don't ask, God, higher power, whatever being, doesn't know that you're prepared for it, or doesn't know that you really want it, or those kinds of things. How do you respond to those kinds of folks? I hear what you're saying, you know, and then we've got the other side of the coin.
Exactly. Okay. When you pray and you ask for something, it's not in your time. So again, it goes back to you're in preparation. When you pray and ask for it right at that moment of time, you say, I need it now, I want it now, and you don't get it, it's very likely because it would be something that would harm you more than hurt than help you. You know, there's a country western song, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. And it's the story about this guy that, you know, was in love with this girl and prayed for her. And he, you know, that's the woman that he wanted in his life. And he asked God to give him that woman. and he didn't get her. She went with some other guy. And what happened was then he met the woman of his life, though, his soulmate, who he did marry. And in the meantime, he's looking back at this other woman, and she's gone through like 2-3 other husbands and that kind of stuff. Because, you know, the divine mind has the greater eye. We see, we remember what's behind us, and a lot of times get stuck dragging a lot of that along. And we can see what's just in front of our nose. But we can't see any farther than that. Whereas the divine eye sees total past and future and knows best and also holds us in universal or unconditional love and will not necessarily allow us to hurt ourselves in that way unless it's beneficial in the lesson.
Okay. All right, that makes sense. You know, I just posted good. Somewhere on Facebook that song. It's pretty funny. I responded to somebody. So it's like, okay, apparently that song is somewhere in the universe for me today to be listening to and hearing a few more times for myself, too.
Very true.
Be cool.
But
be cool.
Going back to the move to Honduras,
mm-hmm.
We knew that we needed to get closer. I mean, we loved Hawaii. We have so much family of the heart there. But I had sons going overseas that were in military service. My parents' health was going downhill. My husband's children were on the Gulf Coast of Florida. They were going through their own transitions. And so we just knew that we needed to get closer. But we didn't go, okay, this is what we're going to do. Well, I have a brass Tibetan bowl, and I meditate with it. A lot of times clients who are ill, their names or their pictures, or they send me names and pictures of family members, and they go in the bowl, and I sit with the bowl on my lap, and I meditate with it. And sometimes I'll actually pick the pictures up and do energy healing with them, that kind of thing. But what we did, because again, we are limited in knowing what all there is. You know, we pick from what we know, but we don't know the great unknown, like, you know, the great Oz. So we made a list of things that we wanted based on the things that we no longer wanted in our lives. Like, we had an acre of jungle that was natural lava flow that had been covered with plants and beautiful tropicals and things like that. But it had to be weed whacked. You couldn't mow it. So that was pretty labor intensive. So we knew that we didn't want an acre of yard anymore, that we had to do that too. That if we were going to have a large yard, which we love, that we would be able to afford to have someone else help us with the yard work. And I loved the house that we had in Hawaii, and I wanted those positive aspects of it, but the bedrooms were small, so I wanted a little bit larger bedrooms and wanted to have guest rooms, that kind of stuff. So, you know, so we made a list, and then we put the list in the bowl. And that way, we would meditate with it every single day. Well, when I had gone to a metaphysical convention in Sedona, Arizona, about 2 years before that, and met a man who was born and raised in Honduras and was currently living outside Las Vegas. He had a metaphysical church and New Age store and his own New Thought television program. So I called him and I said, you know, we're thinking about moving to Honduras. We're selling our house and we're thinking about moving to Honduras. What do you think? So to make a story short, he came to visit us in our home to see how we live. He said, I think that you guys would do great. So he actually got his businesses all taken care of so that he could come and take my husband to Honduras to see what my husband thought of it. And this is all in my book, Gringos in Paradise, Our Honduras Odyssey. It is basically the story of facing these decisions and gently letting go of the past to move into the future with the potential that we wanted. So the guys came here, and you know, Oscar introduced my husband to his friends and to lawyers and things like that, and they drove over to this Caribbean coast. And what had happened, my husband lost his wallet, so he couldn't look for a place for us to rent, because that was the plan, is that we would rent instead of buying right away, give us a chance to get a lay of the land and see what we thought, and this, that, and the other. And so what happened was that with the process here, it took 2 days to get a report into the police and get anything done, and by that time it was time for them to start heading home. So when he shows up at the house, he's really weary, and he's got to work the next day, so he went to take a nap. And I sat down. He told me, he says, I didn't find anything. And he was really disappointed about it. So I sat down at the computer, and I put into the search engine, homes for sale in Honduras. Now, I had been leaving all of this up to my husband, because he loves to do research. But I thought, okay, let's just see what happens. Well, front page is this beautiful home on a river. And see, I wanted a river near my home. And 2 blocks from the beach and right outside La Ceiba and 20 minutes from the airport, which was what we had on the big island of Hawaii. And it was absolutely perfect. 4 bedrooms, 4 baths, 2,500 square feet. And see, on my list of things I wanted was a home grander than I could ever imagine for myself. And so I printed it out, went and woke my husband up and went, look at this. Because my husband had been searching for houses for sale, and I was searching for a home. And the difference in the wording gave me that piece of property. And it was still for sale, and the price had been reduced because it had been for sale for a couple of years. We bought it.
Well, again, it's all in the energy that, like you said, that you put out there.
Exactly. Yeah. And letting spirit guide you.
And how you ask for it and how you word it.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Well, okay, so you didn't necessarily go in there without fear to relocate, right? But you looked at it as a thrill and a challenge and something that you felt was either needed, wanted to do. Correct?
Right. Yeah, because what I did was I used all the spiritual processes I had learned from my elders. I said goodbye to my home. I cut the energy cords to that. I said goodbye to the island and cut those cords. And then the impression was to only bring 10 boxes, 10 3-cube boxes, because of the price of shipping things. And so here I had these beautiful things that I had paid thousands of dollars to move from Florida to Hawaii. And so when I meditated on it, what I got was give them away. And that's what I did, was I gave the things I loved to the people that I loved. And so then I wasn't ever doing without anything. I wasn't losing anything. I was actually gaining, because each of these people that I cared about so much, they were receiving something that was part of me, that I had lived with, that I'd owned, that I'd handled, that they had seen in my home when they would be in my home. And so it didn't hurt at all to be separated from those things. And then the remainder of the things, then we just did a yard sale on the last day. And it was amazing. It was like, you know, dropping a sugar cube on the ground around a picnic basket or something. It was like, they were all gone, because the energy was just working. And everybody was just so thankful, for even for the things at the garage sale. But all of the big things, because I still had some antiques. I had some beautiful pieces of art. And, you know, you can't sell things that you love for the value of them on eBay. You know,
right.
That's like it's an insult to your own heart. And so that's what you do, is you give them away. And then my very best friend, we did, she's Hawaiian, and so we shared breaths as I was leaving and going away, so that always part of her would be part of me and vice versa. So it felt like, okay, yeah, it's time. And that way, I was totally open for the new experience, whatever it was. And because there was nothing from the past that was being drugged with me. It had all been gratefully acknowledged and released and broken ties with. So I didn't have a past perception to see everything new with. You know, when we were talking about that earlier?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Interesting. Because for me, and I know this is me, I have stuff that takes over sometimes, and it's like finding this strange emotional attachment to them sometimes. You know, and it's like sometimes don't even know why or where the energies come from. And, you know, I know you mentioned earlier, you know, sometimes it can come from the energy of like grandparents or people that have passed these things on to you.
Yeah, you can inherit their fears or their anger.
Interesting. So what I would think too, as you gave those things away, as I look at getting rid of some of my stuff, if we pass that stuff on with an attitude of gratitude, or pass it on with a, I'm blessing you with something, it probably makes it easier to get rid of it as well as for them to receive it.
Right. Yeah. Because it's making expansive energy, because you're doing it from love and gratitude. And, you know, that what a beautiful gift to give someone, love and gratitude.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to continue talking about your move from Honduras and that, but I know we have a caller on here named Tim who has a question relating to the first part of what you were talking about with the energy and the things like that that were involved with you. And he's, you know, some specific things with his health and why he's not getting some of the things that he wants in life. So I'd like to take Tim on that call if you're willing to do that. And then we
sure.
can come back talk to you a little bit. I also want to tell anybody else, if you want to call in, the number's 347-205-9...
Yeah.
Hang on a second, Tim. 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. Hey, Tim, you're on the air. This is Cindy and Milana.
Hi.
Hi, Tim.
I just had a question for you to clarify. It seemed like you were saying that if I have a, for instance, I have a genetic disease, and it, you know, I wish for a cure all the time, and it just sounds like you're saying that I don't want it bad enough. So I don't know what exactly you meant.
No. It's not necessarily that you don't want to heal or have normal level of health when it's that kind of situation. You know, sometimes babies will be born with deformities and health problems and stuff like that. And what came to me in working in around people with that situation is that sometimes when people are born with genetic abnormalities, that it's not their lesson necessarily to be learned, but it is their family's lesson to learn to love and accept them, even though they're not what society would say a perfect child. So when we're talking about energy information, there are so many levels that are involved there to know what could happen. But in your particular case is that more to see past your current circumstances.
Okay.
Because especially with chronic conditions, part of what makes them chronic is that they're so long term, and there's so much pain involved with them. If maybe not physical pain, but the emotional pain of the limitations of feeling limited. And so what happens is that you see yourself the same way day in, day out. That's kind of what I was talking about with the healing vacations. The reason that I do them here in Honduras, because I really don't have another place right now I'm thinking about using, but to bring people from a first world country into a third world country is so dramatically different that you're in, like, you know, your eyes are taking in all this new information all the time, and you generally can't speak the language, and everything is different for you. And so you have to rely then on only the new information that you're getting, because you can't apply it to anything from the past. So what it does is it's kind of like tearing contact paper off a wall, but it makes you have to see past your current situation, because you're trying to keep your balance in a new environment, a new situation all the time. So you have to be in the present moment. And with chronic conditions, most times people are not. And, you know, they say that that's where God is in the present, and that's why they call it a present. So,
are you there?
Yes, I am.
Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I didn't know if you could still hear me. So, in other words, like, for instance, I have Duchenne muscular dystrophy, and many people, you know, die in their 20s with it, and I'm now 41, and I basically ignore my disease, and I just go out and do my day all the time. Is that has anything to do with what you're talking about?
That's wonderful. That's very, very good. Not to be limited, but at some degree you know that you are limited, because it's a little bit more difficult for you, because the world that you live in has been created for people who do not have that condition. So tell me, how old are you?
41.
41? Okay. What do you plan to be doing when you're 65?
I have goals and things, and, you know, like I make websites, and I run an advocacy website, and so I hope to be able to put that in the rest of the United States, so, you know, keep working on it.
Great. If I can make a suggestion, clarify in your mind what you're going to be doing when you're 65. See it happening already. And when I ask
baseball,
the next time somebody asks you, what do you plan to be doing when you're 65? You'll say, I plan to be sitting on a park bench in the state of Utah, talking to people about the. Do you see the difference in what I'm I'm telling you, and where you came from, you have goals, which is good, but your goals aren't clarified to where they are a reality, and that's where you have to be. That you need to form a new reality besides the one you live in.
Yeah, so that's kind of like when you're going to hit the ball, you think of where you want the ball to be hit first, and then it happens.
There you go.
Exactly.
You got it.
Mm-hmm.
You've got it. Perfect. You see it already achieved. And then what happens is that the universe moves you into it.
Okay.
And you can't say, this is how I want to get there. You can only say, this is my reality. I do this and I run and skip to do it or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. Well,
thank you
for calling. Thanks for calling in, Tim. Appreciate it. And thanks for listening, too, on the call.
Yep.
It was nice to talk to you, Tim. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Put you back on hold, then.
Okay.
Thanks, Milana. That was a good way to get the examples out there for anybody that might need it, too. So it's the real life evidence, I guess.
My husband, when he was a practicing naturopath in Florida, there was this elderly woman, she may have been like in her mid-60s, but she seemed so much older because she was in a motorized chair when she came to see him. She had rheumatoid arthritis, and she had to have someone dress her every day, and she couldn't walk. So he put her on a nutritional program that included alfalfa and some other greens that are real cleansing to the system. And she would come back every 2 weeks. Well, after a month, she came back using a walker. And she was just thrilled to death. And then it was about 2 months later, she had dressed herself to be able to come. First thing that happened was she lost quite a bit of the pain. Then she was out of the motorized chair and using the walker. And then she got to where she could dress herself. You know, the flexibility of her fingers was coming back and the feeling in the tip of her fingers. But she was still, it was like she plateaued. She couldn't go any farther. And so my husband started talking to her about, tell me what you did. Tell me what your life was like before you ever were stricken with this health problem. And she said, oh my gosh, I played concert piano. I love to play piano. She says, I would get up every morning and go sit at the piano and I would play for an hour before I would go and have tea and breakfast or any of the rest of that. And she says, and every evening I love to play for an hour before I went to bed because it relaxed me. And so he took her through a visualization where she could see herself rising up out of bed in her nightgown, going to the piano, and sitting down and playing. Because, see, what was happening to her was she would wake up in the morning, and then as she would try to sit up in bed, there would be discomfort and limitation, which would be the anchor to bring her back to, don't even try to feel good, you're a cripple. And so with giving her that visualization, that meditation and that visualization, then every time that she came to see him, he would reinforce it. But she was doing it on her own. When she would wake up in the morning, the first thing she would do is just lay quietly in bed, breathing, and she would see herself in her mind go to the piano, and sit down, open it, and start to play. And then, and she would stay in that vision. And then the same thing when she went to bed at night. She would lay down, she would get comfortable, and she would see herself going to the piano, opening it up, sitting down, and playing piano. And what that did was that broke the plateau for her. and took her farther into her healing. And she eventually stopped coming to him because she was on the right path and she knew what to do and she had the tools to do it with. And the last we heard, she was doing fine.
Wow, that's amazing.
Cool stories, isn't it?
That's,
I love being a healer because I'm privileged to be part of the process of someone becoming, for them to,
well, we just
to go through the change.
You love being a healer. Why? We lost a little piece of your conversation there.
I'm sorry, I lost you too. What did you just say?
You said, I love being a healer because, and you kind of cut out.
Oh, because it's such a privilege to be part of someone's process. Because it is not only a physical change they're going through an emotional and spiritual journey, and you get to be part of that. You know, a lot of the things that I know, I never thought to even ask the question of the universe. But my clients come with problems, and those problems, they require an answer. And so that's what, you know, with working with the threads of information, the answers are all there. But you don't get the answer if you never have a question.
Hmm.
So that's what the healing process is for, or is about, is that sometimes you by yourself are stuck in your own rut, so you can't always see and know the next step. So you always have to be willing to just put it out there, you know, send me the teacher that I need to take me to the next level. And it, who knows, it could be the waitress that pours the coffee at the restaurant and says, oh, how are you? And you go, well, not too great. And she goes, yeah, well, when I did this, and it's like, oh, my gosh, she said exactly the thing you needed to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's why we want to surround ourselves with people who know different things than we do, too, and not
mm-hmm.
just necessarily playing in the same group. So.
Yeah, because their life perceptions are different. You know, everybody sees things differently, and the process that we've gone through is always different. So we're there to help each other, and that's why I write.
Okay.
Because I can't talk to enough people.
And it doesn't make a difference on age either. But sometimes, right, we can find that there are younger people that can teach us a lesson. I mean, I've seen some you've talked about some kids who show up on your, you know, at your gate and teach you a lesson, for example.
Oh, absolutely, because their perception is not jaundice. You know, they're still looking with new eyes, with innocence, and they see when the reality that you're living is illogical. You know, we get into these habits of doing things. This is like the woman that was going to roast a pork leg or something, and she cut off the end of the pork leg, and her new husband goes, what are you doing that for? Well, I don't know. I do this because my mother always did this. And so he goes, well, it doesn't make any sense to me. Call your mom, find out. So she calls her mom, goes, Mom, why do we cut the end of the pork leg off before we roast it in the oven? And Mom goes, you know, I don't know. My mom always did. So call your grandma and ask her why she did. I don't know. I just do what my grandma or what my mom did. So the woman calls her grandmother and she goes, Grandma, why do we always cut the end off the pork leg before we put it in the oven and roast it? And the grandmother goes, well, I don't know why you do it. I do it because my pan was small and it wouldn't fit in if I didn't.
Exactly. Yep. Again, asking the questions to get the answers.
Absolutely. Not everybody's reality is someone else's.
Right. Okay. Well, I want to go back to, again, your move between the two different countries. And again, the fear versus the thrill versus the whatever. And, you know, can you compare? compare, you know, we hear, we read in books, we hear on shows, whatever, the difference between United States, even Hawaii, often is not even considered part of the United States sometimes, you know, versus Honduras, versus where you were maybe even before Hawaii, because what you were there, well, if I remember, what was it, 5 years?
We were in Hawaii for 6 years. We've been here for 7 years.
Okay. And where were you before that?
Florida, 10 years.
Okay.
Before that, 13 in the Ozark Mountains.
You've been in a lot of different terrains and environments, you know. So can you compare some of that for us, the culture or the types of communities that are there, you know?
You know, I started a single mother's Next Step help program. Men here desert their wives very easily, and it leaves these women with their children, with sometimes separated from other family members, and they either go to work in the piña fields for $5 a day, you know, the pineapple fields, or they try to borrow money and get on a bus and travel to the nearest town to get a job if they have somebody watch their children, or if they can wait around for some other man to come and say, hey, you want help with those children? Or they can start a business. But when they start a business, like baking or fishing or laundry or anything like that, they're hoping to survive. And sometimes getting just trying to see yourself surviving becomes a rut. And so I've started a program where I help women to the next step when they have a business that they, you know, that they've been supporting themselves for at least a year on. And I know that that's part of why I'm here, is to do that, to take the skills that I've learned as a sales trainer, as a naturopath working with people with chronic conditions, a metaphysician who, you know, there with my training is to see beyond the physical and bring that in here. I teach meditation to kindergarten children, so, you know, to try to allow them to see beyond the circumstances that exist with them. I mean, they're happy. They're happy, but life is hard, and it's because, in part, poverty is a chronic condition. And so I know that everything that I have been through, you know, when I can, when I sit here in retrospect and look back, my own divorce, being a single mom, raising my children, having to start a business, of house cleaning to be able to raise, you know, take care of my children because I'm getting food from churches. I don't qualify for welfare because I was self-employed. So everything I have been through has brought me to this moment in time. Everything that I have learned, this is why Spirit impressed me to write 4 books and put the books out so that other people have the tools to start. It's all, you know, there was quite a while that I'd go, oh, poor me, I have to move again. Because, you know, I think I went to 8 schools before I graduated my school. And it was like, oh, poor me, I want my children to have one place to grow up. And yet, then as they got, you know, into high school and were finishing, I'm starting to move again. So I was perpetuating it, and I felt driven to do it. And I just had to release the outcome and knowing that the best thing for me was going to happen. And so here I am. And I love my life. I love what I do. I love helping people. You know, that's somebody once asked me, if you could do anything, what's the thing that you do that makes you feel the best about yourself? And it's like helping people. That's what makes me feel good. And so I get to feel good every day because that's what I do. I help people. I help people get beyond where they can get by themselves. I am not a missionary. I mean, God bless missionaries. There's a place for them here and in heaven. But I'm not a fixer, but someone who's trying to get to the next level, then I help them. And I let the missionaries and I let the volunteers do the work that they are, that speaks to their hearts. But to me, I think that it helps me heal from the wounds that I went through as a single mom to help these single moms. You know, it's like a 12-step program. One of the things in a 12-step program is that, you know, you make peace with yourself and you make peace with everybody else, and then you have to take your focus off of yourself. And see, that's how you heal from a chronic condition. Take the focus off of yourself and help somebody else. And you help them get to where you've gotten, because that's all the farther you can take them, is where you've gotten. And so you just never stop working on you.
Okay. Yeah, like you said, in the 12-step, one of the steps is to, you know, take what you get and share it to others.
Exactly.
So, you know.
And see, as long as you're giving, you've got energy in motion, and it's going out, and it's very positive energy. And energy works in a circular pattern. So that energy is going to come back to you. That's the golden rule, karma, whatever. But that energy, everything you put out is coming back, which is another reason why you've got to give away your stuff. When you have stuff that you haven't used for a year, give it away. You've gone through all the holidays, you've gone through. And the thing is that, you know, I know people who hang on to their clothes till they lose weight and they can get back in their clothes. Believe me, when you lose a bunch of weight, you do not want to wear old clothes. You want new stuff.
Yeah.
So expand the energy. Give it away. Create a void. The universe will not allow a void. Try to keep a safe interval in traffic. You'll find out how fast the universe will not allow a void. Some little car gets right in there between you and the other car. And that's healthy. That's good. That's what it's all about. That's what we're here to learn, is that none of this stuff is important. None of it really belongs to you anyway. It's just passing through your space on its way to where it's going to do some good. That's why you can't take it with you when you leave here.
Yeah. So are you saying you didn't have that opportunity to help people in the various states?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I've always helped people. I can remember being in grade school, and sometimes all I did was go cut flowers and put them in a mason jar with water and put them on old ladies' front steps, because I felt that they needed to be loved. And so there's always, everywhere that you go, but I think that you learn to help on higher and higher levels. You know, I don't cut flowers and put them in mason jars on my neighbor's porch anymore, but I heal their babies. You know, I help them find work. I help them expand their businesses. I heal their dogs when they have mange. You know, I do it. It's on a little higher level. That's like when I was doing cosmetic sales. That was very rewarding, helping women get more in their lives, either in their appearance or in having additional money and the freedom to do what they wanted with the money. But then I realized, I began to, when I would sit with people when they were put in on cosmetics, it's like I could see that the reason that they have those dark circles under their eyes is there's kidney and adrenal weakness. And the wrinkles at the corners of their eyes, that's liver congestion. And all I can do is give them concealer. And I had a higher truth. I had a higher truth, but I couldn't give it to them because there's legalities involved in, you know, when you're in those kinds of businesses. And so that's when I started studying naturopathy, so that I could get a degree to be a holistic doctor and healer and be able to help women with why do you have gray hair, why you have hot flashes, why you have wrinkles in your eyes. You know, don't necessarily pay for surgery until you go and address this problem first. you know, the bigger problem, the physical, the internal, the emotional, the spiritual problem that existed behind it. So yeah, but I don't know where this leads me, other than I would have never done healing vacations in Florida. I wouldn't have had the knowledge probably, and I wouldn't. It takes a big shift in geography. It takes a big shock, you know, to the system, to get you to stop thinking in the same rut that you're thinking in now, and be open to new information. And so, I have no idea where I'm going to go.
So how was life different in the States versus what it is now in Honduras?
Say that question again.
How was life different in the States from what it is in Honduras? We hear, you know, what some of us hear in the States and on the news is that, you know, Honduras is like, you know, yes, there's people to help, but it's like they don't have electricity. They don't have, you know, which you obviously have because you didn't have electricity this morning. You know, things like
right.
this, that there's like there's nothing there. You know, is it that? Is it just simpler? You know, what versus what do we hear?
Okay, let me give it
you know,
to
okay.
you this way. You have a license and you drive a car, and you drive the same route from work to home every day, work to home, work to home, work to home. And some days you get home and you wonder, oh my gosh, I don't remember going past the dry cleaner. You don't remember driving home because you were in a groove and you're not in the present moment because it's really easy. It's like the car knows the way and you end up at home and it's like, oh my gosh, how did I get here? All right. Life is easy in the States. And I know right now, there are a lot of people that feel like, oh, you know, let's debate that. But it is easier than it is where you're going out to the river every day to catch the fish that you're going to eat if your family's going to eat fish. And that, you know, you're looking for something to wear for a pair of shoes. And, you know, for me, I don't have the poverty that some of the people here have. What I have is that I didn't understand the language, that the culture is totally different. It's not a culture at all evolving around money. It's all about relationships. So, you know, you are all of a sudden minding your manners and your P's and Q's become the thing that helps you survive in a new life that you've chosen. And, you know, you might be walking into a building somewhere and you walk past somebody and go, hello, and they go, hello, how are you? Oh, yeah, fine. Or you don't answer because you're going through the motions. You're in another place. And here, everything is always more present moment. Because you never know. For me, as well as the people that are here.
Cool.
Because they don't have the levels of protection. I mean, they have all the laws, probably, that the U.S. has. But they don't have law enforcement. So you make sure that you get along with all of your neighbors because your neighbor is your back. It's what the U.S. was 100 years ago. Or 125 years ago. Neighbors helping neighbors. Now in the U.S., sometimes you don't know your neighbor. The only time you communicate with them is through the policeman that you called because their music was too loud.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes sense. That clarifies a little bit.
Yeah, so it's the difference of being in the present moment, I think.
Right.
I know when I go to Florida, I love to go there and teach workshops, and I stay with a friend with her condo on San Key Beach, and I watch the bicyclists in their little spandex, and it's like, this is Disney World. Disney World is beautiful, and it's fun to be part of, and there's so much that it offers you to do, but it's like not real. It's the difference in paying $150 to go swim in a swimming pool with a dolphin as opposed to going out in the wild and having four or five dolphins come to swim with you. You know, either way, you're swimming with the dolphins. But one is a blessing, is a privilege, and the other is a right that you paid for.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay, we have another caller on here if you'd like.
Okay.
We'll come back in. Ms. Sally Ann is on the line for you. Welcome to the show, Sally Ann.
Thank you, Milena. Hi, Cindy.
Hello.
Milena, I have to tell you, first off, I made this call strictly to say thank you for what you're doing for our world. Then listening to you on this last little thread here, I have to let you know the beauty that you were talking about in Florida doesn't compare to the beauty that you explained about people and relationships where you are right now. To me, that's true beauty. And on behalf of...
You're giving me goosebumps.
Okay,
wait.
Now you'll get them. Okay, on behalf of a little bit to say about our wonderful country, we are working it here too, because my family knows every one of the homeless people on the street by name, okay, and we are very, very comfortable with our neighbors here, and even though some people aren't as comfortable as we are, somehow we find a line to make them comfortable. So you take care of that end of the world. I'm going to do what I can over here, and I think we'll get
there. Fantastic. That is so fantastic. And, you know, when I talk about that, it's in generalities, because I know that there are wonderful people all over the world, and there are people that are trying to make a change, that are helping people who don't have or who can't. And so that is so fantastic that y'all are not only helping the people that you're helping, but in doing so, you are living the truth that you believe and setting an example which might just give someone else the courage to step out of, you know, their fear of offering their help to someone else. Because I don't really think that there's any bad people, but I think that there's a lot of fear.
Okay, and I will say everything you said is true, except the one thing that was left out is these people are helping us much more than we could ever help them, because they're getting us to the place where we need to be. So it's definitely a give and take, no question about it.
That's the truth.
Looking forward to reading your book, okay?
Thank you.
Okay?
Thank you very much.
Great. It was good to speak with you. Cindy, you rock.
And I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
She's good, isn't she?
She was wonderful. All right, ladies, talk to you soon.
Thank you, Sally Ann.
You're welcome. Bye.
Oh, isn't it wonderful to talk to people like that are just out there doing it? And, you know, there seems to be a great movement of people that are just stepping out of being busy and looking at and finding the people that need that little boost, that little hand up. Somebody put something on my Facebook feed that was like that about a new movement, and I put it on my timeline. And anybody's welcome to go and look at my timeline and see that little video that these two young men said that we're starting a new movement. And what it was you know, they're just going around the world and they're helping, they're feeding. And I think it's fantastic.
I was just going to suggest that to you, and I was going to post that onto the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations page as well. So, yes.
Oh, okay, yeah, do that.
Wonderful thing by a group that's Upworthy, that's online, and they tend to find a lot of positive, motivating things for people to listen to and watch, and yeah, it's really cool. So I know that of that video as well today, and so it's cool that we both have it, because it is, you know, exactly.
Exactly.
They're giving shoes, shirts, things like that to the homeless, just to give them, you know, not as a patronizing thing, just as a, you know what, you deserve this, just like anybody else does. A human, you're my neighbor, you're here. You know.
There was one of the Native American First Nation cultures, I think it was Lakota, and probably more of them did, but I know a little bit more background from the Lakota people. But they had a policy when there was another tribe of people that were struggling, that were having problems, then they would bring their best, they would gather their best blankets, their best knives, their best food, and they would take it and give it to them. So that was a normal thing for them to do, is just to give the best of what they had, and another tribe, and it might even be a tribe that they had warred with, but they would still do that. So you know, I think we're getting back to traditional things now. Because we've found out that having money is not the answer. Having the things that money buys is not the answer to happiness and fulfillment and prosperity, or even to health. But in doing things that help others, you actually are helping yourself, because there's no separation in us or between us. We're all connected energetically. So what we do for another, we do for ourselves. But if we could get, you know, if it just the movement that seems to be growing, that, you know, ohala, it grows greater and greater and greater, and that as it grows, it takes on speed. Are you still there?
I am. Sorry. My voice is still not back as it should be, and so periodically when I'm pushing it, I am still going into a little bit of a cough, so I need to mute my microphone. So, unfortunately, it came at the wrong time.
Oh.
So, anybody who heard me last week, this is actually a huge difference, so... And I apologize, too. I had not put Sally Ann on hold. So that was some of the static that was involved in there before. So
I wondered what that was.
Okay.
I just figured I'd keep talking until I found out the line went dead or whatever.
Yeah,
that,
no.
That's a common thing here, too.
I was shifting her off to put her on hold. And we do have another call here. Oops. Jan's working behind the scenes here, and she just picked up Jillian. And actually, she disconnected Jillian in the process. I'm not sure what happened here. I'm going to ask Jillian to call back again, since we just had it disappear. So I'll get her back in a moment.
Okay.
Anyway, let's see. What else do we have to discuss with you today? Oh, your little critters. You know what? I like hearing those stories, too. And maybe some of our listeners were. You know, your environment is so peaceful that I understand you have some harmonious living arrangements with animals that don't necessarily live together normally.
Well, I have two rabbits. And for a long time, I just had the one male rabbit, and he was kind of an in-and-out house rabbit. You know, if it was raining or something, he'd come up the stairs to the upstairs and sit on the sofa and watch TV with me. And then when he was ready to leave, he'd go stare at the door and wait for the knob to turn. But he got sick. And see, I practiced. I told somebody once, when they asked me, they go, oh, do you animal test? And I go, oh, absolutely I do. Every theory that I have on nutrition and herbs or anything gets tested on my husband, my dog, my cat, and both my rabbits. So that's what I have a mixed Chihuahua Terrier dog, and then my cat that we brought from Hawaii. You got sometime, Cindy, I don't know if you've ever had the chance to read Gringos in Paradise, our Honduras Odyssey, but you really got to read it because it really, it's kind of like metaphysical Irma Bombeck goes to Spanish-speaking Mary Berry. But it's every challenge that can face you and how to get past it. Every single person in the world has change going on, big changes. And sometimes you feel like you're alone and overwhelmed. And I think that's the thing that came most of the story. It's the first 8 months, you know, it's our decision to move, what we did to put ourselves in that mindset, and then the first 8 months here. So we brought our cat with us. So she's 13 years old now. And then we got the rabbit 2 years, the first rabbit, Patch, 2 years after we moved in here, because I felt like Pueyo needed stimulation, not even thinking about predator. Just figured a friend and something that would move and, you know, that kind of stuff. Because I really don't want my birds bothered. I have beautiful exotic birds, including toucans that fly through the yard. And then after Patch got sick and recovered, then I felt he needed a companion. So I got another little female. Well, then I found out within 4 months and 14 baby bunnies that wasn't going to work very well for very long. So we had to take Patch in for surgery. But also then during that time is when my neighbor's dog had puppies. It was kind of a Chihuahua Dobe mix and some kind of terrier. So we have Magna now as well. So it's just always kind of a circus.
And they're all living harmoniously in your yard.
They all get along fine. You know, it's like the neighborhood here. There's very wealthy people living next to people that do their laundry out of a bucket and stand, you know, with this water pipe with no shower head on it to take their showers and stuff. There's just all levels of income here, and everybody gets along and are friends and just help each other out. So that's kind of what it is with my animals, is that, you know, as long as I am being equally divided amongst them, they all get along really, really well and help each other out. My cat tells me when it's time for the rabbits to go into the laundry room for the night to be closed in, and then she comes and gets me when it's time for me to get up and let them out. And if there's something in the yard, a possum or Tusquatine or, you know, something, then she comes in and she gets the dog, and the dog goes out and yuck, yuck, yucks and runs and barks at them and chases them out of the yard. So it's really quite the team.
That's amazing.
A lot of fun. I'm going to, when I'm through with the books that I'm writing, you know, I've got Gringos in Paradise, then Shift is waiting at the publishers in Arkansas for acceptance. Then, and that's the one that you helped me with the editing. And that's on Seeing the Paradigm Shifts. But then there's the birthday bead book, where the project for my birthday, where I made a bead necklace with beads that all of my friends and family each sent me, because I couldn't get home to them, and them is everywhere from Hawaii to Florida. So each one of them sent me a bead with a message. And that way it held their mana, their love, and then I spent the days after my birthday making this necklace that I wear. So I wear an embrace from my family and friends every time I get dressed and go to town. But it was such a journey of self-awareness for me to go through that process, from the invitations to wondering if anybody was going to respond to the whole thing, that I just, you know, I photographed all of it and wrote the story up So, and that's the book that I was impressed that the royalties from the sale of that book, they go to support my single mothers programs here in Honduras. Instead of, you know, asking for contributions, then the royalties off of the book go to do the work now. So that's cool.
And that's what you were talking about, the mothers, that essentially so they can go to work or they have their own business now instead of going to work and leaving their children.
Right, exactly. So what has happened with that is that the woman who, the Garifuna woman who does baking, she was putting her kids through school, paying for their school and everything on an apartment-sized range with just one gas can for the stove. So now she has a full-size range and two backup gas cans and an electric mixer. She doesn't have to hand mix anymore. And then the neighbor that fishes for a living, fishing is a man's thing here. And men fish, women clean the fish and cook the fish. And see, she goes out and fishes with the men because she can make more money to support her children with than she can working in the pineapple fields or anything else. And so she's the one that I taught to make the jewelry. And really, it wasn't teaching her to make jewelry. It was, we collect sea glass when we were in Hawaii and here on the beach of the Caribbean. And all I had to do was give her the idea of twisting the wire, the silver wire, around the pieces of polished glass that the ocean has forgiven and given back. And her fingers were already adept because as a fisherman working her nets, she has to repair them with wire all the time anyway. So now when there is no fish, when the weather is bad and she can't go out to sea, she makes jewelry and she sells it through my website. But also, I have her introduced to two shops that tourists buy souvenirs at so that they can buy the jewelry there. But then all of this prosperity began to spark interest in a new young mom. She had wanted to go to college and become a teacher of special education and didn't have the money, so she worked as a nanny for her aunt and uncle. And then she had money, but her parents, her stepfather had gone blind, so she had to help support them. And then she got involved with some guy because she couldn't get the, you know, her time was tied up. And so she got pregnant, and he left. So here she is, a single mom, so she's cleaning house half day. She's working in a restaurant, cooking 2 days, you know, on the weekend, and her baby is being raised by her mom, and so she's missing out on that. So one of the things that I would do is make pizza, and I taught her to make pizza. So now she has this little pizza business on Friday nights, and because she has this pizza business now, she doesn't have to work in the restaurant, and she can be home with her baby, and afternoons when she gets off work, and also all weekend long. And so that's been great. And then with the fish market that, you know, we helped create for the fisherman woman, she had a niece who likes to paint. She's artistic. So when I saw what she was doing, then I started getting out promotions for her so that she can paint murals for people. In children's bedrooms, you know, the cartoon characters and maybe a measuring thing that someone could mark there, or a new business that wants to promote who they are and what they are visually. But, you know, she hasn't given up her job. But now she has this other opportunity to develop something that could grow into her own business. So, yeah, so, you know, that is kind of my dream for this community, that this little community that was abandoned by the fruit company and it just kind of gave up hope, now have hope again. And that the prosperity of it comes from women, entrepreneurs with their businesses to raise, you know, to support and raise their families. And that in doing that, that these women develop a voice and start to speak in government so that, you know, part of what's here with the government in Honduras is that it's the wealthy people. So it's the same families over and over and over again, and they're pocketing all of the big money that's here, and the people that are in poverty live in poverty. So this business opportunity develops the middle class, and that's where every country gets strong, is when they have a middle class, and then get the middle class into government, not the wealthy, and let bring light into where the darkness is at, and give strength, kind of like wipe out poverty, because the poverty is what incubates the corruption. So, you know, that's my dream out of the Single Mothers Project.
Okay. Well, cool. I think we are winding down here on other things. I don't know if there's anything else that you did want to cover. I'm going to list the phone number for folks one more time. We've got about another 10 minutes that we can take calls. And that number is 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. And I'm going to ask if there was anything else you wanted to cover, and then if you would also give us your contact information, Milana.
Oh. If you're interested in the things that I do and interested in the philosophy I teach, it's part of everything that I write, whether it's my Facebook pages, my books that I write, the articles that I write. But please go to my website, which is Wisdom Pathway, www.wisdompathway.com. And it has everything from healthy recipes to all about my mother's program to steps of moving through chronic conditions. And join me on Facebook, which is my name. And I don't know what the links are for my Facebook pages, so I can't tell you that at all. But I think Cindy's got them, and we'll probably post them on the website page of the Blog Talk Radio.
Yes. If anybody wants those, you can go over to, they're at purposetalkradio.com under guests and Milana Ashley. You can find that there again, purposetalkradio.com, which is where our page is. And of course, it's got Milana's links. It's got the links to get a hold of me, as well as to donate or sponsor the show. So you're welcome to do that also. Is there an email that you wanted to give, Milana? Or you just connect through your website?
They can connect through my website, so then there's less to remember.
There you go. All right. Great. We can find that.
Yeah, and I got lots of freebie stuff on my website, too. Meditation tape and newsletter and other things. So, you know, go explore. Have the thrill of adventure going through my website, and take what you need and pass on the rest.
There you go. The thrill of the unknown. Go find out what it is on Milana Ashley's page. So, and again, that was wisdompathway.com. Cool. You know, I'll ask one more question here. What's the best thing about living in Honduras in just a minute or two for you?
The best thing?
Yeah.
You know, it's, I think it's the freedom that comes from self-responsibility. Again, you know, the U.S. is my home. I was born and raised there, and I love it, and my family has served military, and my children have, but the U.S., the way that it is now, is a lot different than the U.S. that I grew up in. And part of it is, you know, all the laws and regulations and protections and all that stuff that has been initiated. Whereas Honduras is like me getting to go back to the 1950s. So if I fall down on the wet floor in the grocery store, people will rush to me and help me up and ask me if I'm okay and if I need for them to call a cab. I can't sue anybody. Nobody sues people here. You have lawyers to help you with criminal process and also for land purchases and all that kind of stuff. But people don't sue each other here. And so when somebody falls down the road, you can go help them. You don't have to be worried about whether or not you're going to get sued for it. But there's a certain freedom that comes for being totally responsible for yourself. And I just kind of like it. But probably in a nutshell, it reminds me of growing up in the 1950s.
Cool. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Simpler.
Things my kids don't even know about.
I think you just gave me our affirmation for today, because I'd like to do that with the show.
Oh, okay.
And so the affirmation would be, I am responsible for myself. I accept and receive that today and share it with others. Share what I know with others.
Oh, wonderful. I like that.
Yeah.
Very, okay. Very good. This has been so wonderful to be on your show, Cindy. I think that you're a wonderful talk host and doing a great job. What Sally Ann say? Bang up. And I feel very privileged in being asked to be a guest on your show.
Thank you. And I appreciate you being here. So we'll connect people with you, and hopefully you'll get some other information to be able to share with them as well. So, go ahead.
No. I'm with you.
All right. I think I'm going to put you on hold here then and wrap up the end of the show. I don't see anybody else calling in. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. You probably covered it. You know what? It's always a good thing. I have to remember that too. It's always a good thing. So that at this point, there are no questions. I'm just looking through all my screens trying to figure out how to put you on hold. How's that now? with everything. But what we can do then is, anyone that is interested, like I said, come to PurposeTalkRadio.com. You will be able to see and listen to our past guests and any other archives that we have from the show. Our guest next week will be Christina Nelson, who is a medium. And she'll be on the show. We'll talk to her about her destiny and how she got to where she is. And then from that, she will do a few readings as well. That will not be the primary aspect of the show, though, so just so folks know. And it will be after we do the interview. So we end the day with review that our is from True Trinity. And it's called I Am Who I Am. Let's see, what else do I need? Also, if you'd like to reach me, you can at Cindy at Purpose Talk Radio. If you have a suggestion of a guest or any other things for our show, I'd be happy to receive them. Or would like to be a part of this show yourself, that would be a wonderful opportunity as well. In the meantime, I guess we close the show. Thank you all for listening and being a part of it. Thank you, Sharon, for moderating our show today, our discussion board over on Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. Thank you to those who were in the chat room today. It's been a wonderful day, and I wish you all soul blessings.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.